comparison, and then a chart that explains the changes.
And here's what I got. That's all I put in. I just want to be clear, right? That was it. And I got this cute little web page that has 1800, 1850, 1900, 1950, and 2000, and a chart at the bottom explaining the changes. And I knew that you were going to be here. One second. Hold on. And he was going to say, like, okay, but who says the data's right? I knew you were going to ask me that question, right? You were. So I went back and said, okay, add a chart that shows the underlying data and allow that data to be edited and affect the chart. Add a button that will return the data to the original. So now I have this. And down here, I have the original data. And if I think the data is wrong, I can change it. And it will create the chart for me. So I can go. You'll notice that the pie chart is moving as I do that, right? Both charts. Right. Oh, that's not what I wanted. All right. Questions so far?
Wait, what was that?
What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. That was Claude.
Oh, that was Claude.
That was Claude. I'm sorry. I meant to say that. Yeah. Claude will produce web pages for you just by asking it to. But you can use these charts somewhere else, too. Okay. Next. I think last year I mentioned that nobody should be typing in their second language anymore. I'm just going to mention that if you have audio that you want as a written document, you do not need to type it yourself. If you want notes for your students and you don't have notes that are useful to your students, you don't have to write those notes. There are AIs that do a really good job taking notes. Most of them are really good at English notes. I just want to be clear, or Hebrew notes. But mixed language is a much harder thing. SOFAIR AI does a really good job doing a transcript of a mixed Hebrew-English audio. It doesn't take notes on it. It'll just give you the full transcription. So that's still, like, if you're teaching a class in a mixed language, getting the notes is a little bit more difficult. But there's a lot of AIs that'll take notes on a single language. Fireflies is one of them. ChatGPT does a reasonably good job of it also. Fireflies, I think, uses ChatGPT but it just makes the whole thing a little bit easier. And so for AI, if you upload, if you have a share from someone, you upload that share, it will give you a transcript of that share really well. And you have the choice of having it transliterate the English or transliterating the Hebrew or spelling out the Hebrew in the middle. So you can do either one. And and then you have the transcript.
Are you using the one right now?
Huh?
Are you using one right now?
I am not. I think they turned on the note. I was, I did that. I try not to do the same thing I did last year. Last year I took notes during one of the sessions. If you want to see that, I think it's even still published and the demo is available. So, but
does it differentiate between speakers?
Yes. Yeah. And not only that, the AI, one of the wild things is that because it's trying to figure out what it says, it's better than the recording. In other words, I was in a coffee shop. I was like, I'm curious if this is working. There were a couple of people sitting over here that were having a conversation. I turned it on and put it on my desk and didn't say anything. And it got their whole conversation, even though I couldn't have recorded their conversation. But it got in, yeah, I deleted it, don't worry. Like it was just long enough to make sure that it worked. And, you know, but it'll pick up. When we did this in this classroom last year, you know, the person was speaking from the far end of the room who wasn't so loud. It picked up enough to be able to figure out what they were saying and add it to the transcript. So the transcript, because it's using the AI underlying what's going on, it's often better than just the regular tape. Not to mention that it's easier to scan and all sorts of other things, but.
Really look at the notes after you.
Yeah, I've used it, a few of my colleagues have used it, like, in various meetings and whatever. You know, when I go to conferences, I do not take notes anymore.
Zoom has it
built in. There are a couple of tools that work with Zoom. There are a bunch of tools that are built to do it online, but Fireflies is one of the ones that you don't need to be online to use. You can just use it anywhere. I used to have, okay. Again, so once you have the transcript, you can take that and you can put it, you can put it into your page layout program and do whatever you want with it, in terms of presentation. So if you have a Dvar Torah that you want to give to your class, you don't have to type it if you're not a touch typist. I mean, if you type faster than you speak, go for it. But if you don't, speak into your computer, have it transcribe it, and then stick it into your page layout program and make it look nice, and you've got your Dvar Torah to hand out to your class. Like, there's no reason to type if you're not a touch typist today.
Are there any things that are not cloud-based that can do this?
The transcription piece is built into pretty much every computer these days. iPhones, Android phones, Windows laptops. Yeah, they all have it built in at some level or another.
What's it called on Windows?
I have no idea. We have Windows computers in every room in this building, and I avoid using it as much as I can. Okay. There are some AIs that are designed to create materials specific for education, I've mentioned a few of these in the past, but I'm going to mention one or two of them right now. I'm going to start with Diffit, which I have mentioned in the past. Diffit is specifically designed for creating materials around texts.
And open?
Yes.
Free?
Yes. Yes. I have not paid for Diffit, and I use it. There are tiers to it which are paid, but a lot of it is free. And I will say, and that's true of many of these tools, which is to say, if you find a tool that is useful for you, it's worth $5 a month. And if it's not worth $5 a month to you, then you probably shouldn't be using it. Like, really? If it's going to save you hours of time, and I don't know, for those of you who are at the Academy, if it's worth $5 a month to you, let me know and we'll pay for it. Right? Like, I can't speak for the other schools, although they should, but you know, hey. So I'm just going to show you... So Diffit has some texts built in. So, for example, here's Animal Farm. I thought that was one that a bunch of us might be familiar with. So I just told it to work on Chapter 1. So it gave a long-form summary for Chapter 1. I'm going to make this a little bigger so you can see it. It's been a long time since I read it, but it seems pretty accurate. And then key vocabulary words, multiple choice questions, short answer questions, open-ended prompts. And the thing is that while it has certain books built in, and this is Animal Farm, I chose fifth grade, whatever, you can upload a text too. You can upload a Hebrew text and have it produce materials for you as well. Definitely look at them carefully. Like, don't, you know, but even if it only does 75% of the work and then you have to edit it, it's still saving you a lot of time. And then once you have this, right, you have your key vocabulary words. You take those words and you stick them into your word processor, into your page layout program, and you have your activity sheet for the week. Yeah? Yeah, I mean, it does all sorts of things. Yeah, it can put it all, right.
Can you put Arashi in there?
You can try. I mean, it's usually for a longer text. Like, I would put like a parak rather than a single Rashi, but it certainly understands Hebrew. I've worked with it in Hebrew. Right? Study Fetch is similar to a lot of the others. One of the interesting things about Study Fetch is that when you give it your materials, you can give it a tape. an audio. You don't have to give it written materials. You can give it a PDF of your materials. You can ask it to create materials, but if you have materials, you can give it those materials, can give it the pages of your book, you can give it an audio of your lecture, and you can say, okay, create study materials for this, right? On the flip side, a student theoretically could use this in your class and have the program, seriously, right? Have the program listen to your thing and then produce study materials for them to help them study the material, right? Yeah. In a high school classroom, that might not be entirely inappropriate. Depends on, whatever. Okay. All of these produce all sorts of different materials. All of the things that you are producing, charts and comparison charts and all of those things based on text, these are all doing stuff like that. I recommend taking a look at one or two of them. They'll show you some of the they have like demo pieces up there that you can see what they do, and you can try one out, and and if you like one, you like it, and if you don't, you move on to the next one.
Any of them support Hebrew better than the other?
The truth is that there's two questions with Hebrew. The first is text, and the second is understanding. The text is a done deal. It gets complicated when it's mixed text. But Hebrew in and of itself is a done deal. Any of them that are based in AI at this point understand Hebrew also. They might not understand, some of them do better or worse with the implied logic that we expect in some of our texts. But like if you're talking about a piece of literature in Hebrew, they'll do just fine. They'll understand that just fine. And they do reasonably well with various learning materials that are basic, Mishnayot and stuff like that, they do pretty well with. When it starts getting to Gemara, it depends on which ones, like whether they follow the logic well. But they understand the Aramaic just fine. Like it can produce a fine translation. Okay, so just for fun, I went back to this, and so here's my activity sheet for this class, right? I just sort of replaced. That was not what I wanted to do. Let's try that again, shall we? That was not helpful. I just went back and put in the various things that we had done. So here's the crossword puzzle. Here's the summary reading. Here's some of the pictures and graphs we did. And so that's just to sort of show you that you can mix and match them. Once it's all online, you can mix and match them and put them together however you like. And you can change the fonts or keep them, right? I mean, the advantage to using this kind of template is that I don't have to think about it. Like, it just sort of matches. And then if I just put my material in there, it looks reasonably nice.
So how did you do that? You told it or listened?
No. This activity sheet?
Yeah.
So I went, these were all the different things that I'd created, right? So then I went back into Adobe Express. I'll show you. So here's the original template, right? So I opened it again, and I just, here's this image. So I clicked on replace, and I uploaded the image that I'd created. And over here, I clicked on, right? And if there was something where there, maybe I deleted it and added something new. And I, over here, I just, retyped, and it kept the same font. Right? And if you do something like that, so then you can even have worksheets that are vaguely consistent, right, over the course of the year. Okay, questions so far? How much time do I have? Oh, good, I'm running right about on schedule. Okay. No questions. All right, cool. I hope that's cool. All right. So now, just a few things that are really for online use. If you want to create a presentation, like a slideshow, like this, you can hand it your material and have it produce a slideshow for you. There are two that I recommend, gamma.app and curapod.com. Curapod is designed for teachers. If you're teaching secular subjects and you tell it what grade level and what it is, what unit you're teaching, it will create the presentation from scratch with no materials at all. And then you can go in and add to it or change it. But you can also upload your material and have it produce the presentation from the materials that you hand it. It also, and this is, you know, if you're using technology in your classroom, it also has interactive slides that it produces as part of what's happening. So it will add, like, you know, review questions after two or three slides that ask about that material, or have the student ask, have the student draw something that's relevant to what's being there. And that's all just sort of done automatically, and then you can go back in and edit it if you'd like. Gamma is more of a professional presentation, like, so it doesn't have some of those interactive tools, but it does a really nice job, if you give it your materials, of producing a presentation from that material.
So when you say give it your material, so can I give it an article that
yeah,
I wrote?
Yeah. Give it a PDF. Give it a transcript that you created by talking to it. Gamma will even take, I think, an audio. You don't even have to produce the transcript. You can just upload the audio, and it will read that. Okay, so that's that. Podcasts. Okay. So some of you have probably heard of the fact that you can upload material to this Google tool called Notebook, and it will produce a conversation, an audio conversation between two people about that material, which is fascinating. 11's Lab will allow you to do it with custom voices.
That's amazing.
Let's see if I can get this to actually play. Oh, I have to be.
Here's something that'll blow your mind. The entire modern court system.
Anyone recognize the voice?
Levels of
he has not heard this, by the way.
Hierarchy wasn't invented by some ancient Greek philosopher or Roman emperor. It came from a Midianite priest's suggestion over 3,000 years ago.
And that's fascinating. You're talking about Jethro, right? Moses' father-in-law?
Exactly. Picture this scene.
Okay, I'm going to stop it here. I'm going to just say a couple of things about this. First of all I did was I handed it the text of the Parsha. That's it. I just uploaded the text of the Parsha, and in Hebrew, I copied it from Sfaria, and I pasted it in, and it produced. And then I said, okay, use my voice and Rabbi Matanky's voice. I've cloned his voice. I'm working on something for Purim. Let's see if that happens. But in the meantime, don't tell him. Okay. He's going to see it. I'm not going to, whatever. But I also want to point out that when it produces this, it gives you the text of the conversation, and you can go in and edit the conversation. So if you think that your students listening to two people talk about it would somehow be helpful, then you're not limited to the conversation it creates automatically. That's a starting point. You can go in and edit that conversation however you want, right? So you can, you know, if you don't like the way it talks about these people because it doesn't have quite the reverence maybe we should, you can change that. Like, you can change however you want. And obviously, you can hand it other materials as well. It doesn't have to be a Parsha from Chumash, but I thought that would be the fun one. Yeah?
You started off the class with a picture with the different kids.
Right.
I'm just thinking, maybe you could use the kids in the class.
Yeah, you can use their voice. Right. You can
they
now
can
create
the lecture in their own voice.
Yeah, you can now create a clone of someone's voice. I'm going to talk more about this in the next one, about movie making. You can now create a clone of someone's voice with a recording of about 30 or 45 seconds of their talking. I went online and pulled down a shear that Rabbi Matanky had given and uploaded that and created the voice. I think I have one more thing here. Let's see if I have... you got to see this. You just got to see this. I mean, that was the bell. You're welcome to leave, but But here's, you want to see, here's the prompt. Here's a website that Claude created with this prompt. So it puts up a colored shape, and then I have to hit red and square, and it changes it to blue and circle. And it times how long it takes me to get it right, blue and triangle. So it created that with just these words, this description. And then I said, okay, add more basic shapes, and it created this. And now it times it, and it counts 1 through 5. It gives you 5, and then it stops, instead of just continuing to go. And this actually works.
Good job.
Claude.
Can you put the barcode again?
The what?
The barcode for your
phone. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Right, it's the same one.
The
presentation is shared. You can use that barcode. You can use that URL. It's both. It's this presentation and the next one are both in the same slideshow.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's fun to play around.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Finish the presentation.
Finish
the presentation.
That's a bittersweet thing when it happens as a teacher. They're great teachers, but I hope they don't last a year.
That's right.
I remember you were at the